Oh, boy. So this show, for anyone that doesn't know, I'm just going to start the regular show now. This show is sponsored by Spartan Armor Systems. You'll see their body armor plate there. This is a soft, malleable plate, as you can see right there. It's very nice. Very nice. But you can visit SpartanArmorSystems.com, and if you use code YEETYEET, you'll get 10% off your order. Yeah. So let's just jump into it. I do have a show that is planned for today. If anyone is just joining us, my name is Steve. I own Citizen Stringer and this podcast called Wake Up America. It's been a weird day for me personally. And I know I say that a lot, but today it was a weird day because I was listening to court cases all day long. Well, a particular court case that has to do with Nexus Services. So I was listening to everything that they've talked about. We have an article we're going to talk about here in a little bit that has to do with Nexus Services, because many of you guys may or may not remember, we've written, I don't know, 6 or 7 articles about this company that is paying to surveil a police department and trail their members home, their officers home, promoting BLM riots in their town, participating in those BLM riots in their town. What else? I mean, there's so much, you know, the ankle monitor thing for the illegal immigrants, which is how they make all their money anyway. There's just so much, and there's more, because it turns out taxpaying dollars may very well have paid for some of those BLM protests. Because today I broke the news that Nexus Services received a $1.4 million PPP loan on April 12th of 2020, which is insane. Apparently it was made to keep its employees, 97 of them, employed, which is really crazy because the number was so high. If you actually look up what that would calculate to, that would mean the average salary for these Nexus employees was just about $70,000, $69,000 and change. Absolutely insane. When that is coupled with the fact that the majority of the executives there are convicted felons of moral turpitude, so fraud, things like that, that is even stranger, because you would think that with the PPP loans, you couldn't be convicted of fraud-related charges. Well, it turns out that as long as the fraud charges are 5 years or older, or that was the old rules. So when they applied in December, it changed. So you could be convicted of fraud a year before you apply for a PPP loan and still get it. But in April of last year, when you could apply for a PPP loan, he had to be free of judicial restraint, which means you couldn't be on probation, parole, or anything like that. And you couldn't have any previous convictions, felony convictions, within 5 years. Now, there's one thing that we're trying to get to the bottom of. One of the executives there, although he was charged with perjury and is facing trial now, that's coming up this year, I believe, he was indicted by a grand jury, Richard Moore. He's an executive. He was actually talked about a lot in this court case today, but he's an executive with Nexus Services. He was indicted in, I believe it was June of last year, for lying to somebody. He's a perjury, lying under oath. And he's facing, he's facing some time for that. And so he's under judicial restraint now. We're trying to verify when his probation ended, because there's some rumors that it ended in May of 2020. If it ended in May of 2020, they committed, you know, CARES Act fraud. Because you can't apply if you're under any sort of judicial restraint. And with the CARES Act funding, everybody that's a 20% owner or better needs to have their background check run. So it's kind of interesting. You know, we wrote about it just because I don't understand this company. I don't understand the benefits of everything. And I implore everybody that's out there that doesn't understand, or that is, especially the BLM actors. Like, I know some of them watch this show. All the people that are in this show that's paid for by Nexus, and just so we have some figures, in today's court documents, and when I say I was listening to court cases all day, I was. The entire day, the live federal court case I listened to today. The entirety of the day. So you know how much that since January, how much they've paid that production crew that's following them around while they don't pay any other debt. But do you know why? Or do you know how much money they spent? $221,000 from January to June for that production company to make all this show called The System. They have $90,000 in outstanding invoices to that company just for July alone. Now, you remember when I was there in June, we talked to the cameraman. We got in a back and forth because he was, you know, talking about he was a victim and all this stuff. And it went back and forth for a while when I went out there with the cameras and live streamed it. They're not out there filming anymore. So maybe something happened. Maybe they realized the likelihood of them getting paid by a company that's getting sued by virtually everyone they work with for non-payment, including lawyers. That was a funny thing. The judge today, there was no decision. So the case today, I'll give it some background. There's a company called RLI. They do insurance. And I wrote an article on this a couple of months ago, or a couple of weeks ago, rather. There's a company called RLI. They do certies. So the way Nexus Services works is they pay immigration bonds, and then they have what's called a program fee. So you're saying, what is an immigration bond? An immigration bond is where an illegal immigrant that crosses the border and that gets arrested, they sometimes, depending on their background is and what their risk rating is with the Border Patrol, they get what's called an immigration bond. Now, most bonding companies are very hesitant to give bond for an illegal immigrant because, well, they may not show up. They crossed into the United States illegally. They may not show up to any court cases. You know, they may abscond and then you lose the money. So this company figured out a way, and I don't know how. I mean, they're definitely smart. Like, I'll give them that. Mike Donovan, I heard your performance today. You deserve an Oscar, but you're going to go to jail eventually. But he's him and Richard Moore. They're all a bunch of, you know, dudes that came up with this big, you know, elaborate legal scam. And I want to clarify that everything they're doing right now seems to be legal. And that's why they're under investigation by attorney generals left and right, you know, for Virginia, New York, Massachusetts, all over the place. They're under current investigations by these attorney generals, but nobody can nab them. Nobody can nab them because they can't. What they're doing is they're hugging that fine line. So what happens is the illegal immigrant who's caught by Border Patrol goes to jail. He's given an immigration bond. His family members call Nexus Services. Nexus Services takes the deposit, gets and then pays a bail bondsman and basically secures that bond through them, through Nexus Services. So they act as the middle guy. So the bondsman is more apt to do it because he knows his security is back, or the bond amount that he has to put up is covered by the certi bond that Nexus Services has, or that they buy essentially for each person that's out. Then when the immigrant gets out, a Nexus employee or contractor, whatever, goes and picks him up, takes him to McDonald's, gets him all fattened up on food, and then hands him a 20-page contract that's mostly in English. Now, keep in mind, a lot of the people that come over that are coming here illegally don't speak English, let alone read it. So they hand him a contract that's mostly in English that says in all these long pages that you have to pay a monthly fee, and it used to be you had to wear an ankle monitor. So these immigrants that were coming across the border, you know, for a better life, for whatever you feel about immigration, that's irrelevant right now, but they're coming across the border in seek of a better life. They get hampered in because, you know, it's either go to jail or get out and have to pay. So what they do is Nexus Services gets them to sign this contract that says they're going to pay $420 a month. And originally it was for ankle monitors. So they had to wear an ankle monitor, and they called that a program fee or an ankle monitor lease, essentially. Now, because of everything that happened, and they kept getting in trouble with all these, you know, because people were like, why am I paying $420 a month? And then I call back 15 months later to find out how much more I have on my bond. And you say, well, I have the whole bond. Because this program fee, that $420 a month, it doesn't apply to anything. That is the lease for the ankle monitor, which is amazing, right? It's such a scam. So these people are paying the ankle monitor. The bonding company doesn't lose any money because they get, as soon as the case is resolved by customs or an immigration judge, the Department of whatever it is, Homeland Security, sends the bonding company back their money that they put up because now the bond is done. So it's like a guaranteed loan, essentially, that the government is backing, even though the government has nothing to do. This isn't a government-regulated thing. You may have heard ankle monitors with Customs and Border Patrol. That's a whole different program. That's what Border Patrol lets people out of jail without having to pay anything because they agree to wear an ankle monitor. So this company is, it's crazy. I mean, some of the immigrants that have come over across and have to endure this plot by Nexus, an legal plot. Let me just clarify that. So far, it's legal until they actually are convicted of something, which it has to happen. Like, I got to imagine there's an FBI agent sitting around somewhere just being like, I can't wait till I get to arrest them. We have so much stuff against them. Like, I really just don't understand why it hasn't happened yet with everything. But the crazy thing is, so those surety bonds, so you remember that. So Nexus has been sued by a whole bunch of nonprofits. They've been sued by the illegal immigrants that they've robbed, essentially, or that feel that they're robbed. See, I'm covering my ass there. They've been sued by the ankle bracelet companies because they don't pay for them. They have three separate companies that make the ankle monitors sued them because they refused to pay them for them. After they got them and put them out, they just stopped making the monthly payments on the ankle monitors. Isn't that crazy, right? So all these people started suing them. So they brought in lawyers. Lawyers were defending them in these cases. And then they stopped paying the lawyers. So the lawyers had to resign and get away from doing the case and then sue them as well. So that added up. And then these surety bonding companies started suing them as well because they were not paying their bills as well. RLI is one of these companies. RLI is a surety bond company that several years ago had these sureties and still does. They still have people that are out on bond right now that they owe the money to the federal government if the payments aren't made by Nexus to secure that bond. The problem is that they won a judgment, and then in October of last year, a court ordered that Nexus had to pay a $2 million collateral on the judgment that they owed. Well, the problem is Nexus never did it. And for the past 9 months, they've been just, you know, hammering paperwork over and over and over. All the, you know, court, every single time there's something, they were hiding all their money allegedly the plaintiffs today alleged so much malfeasance. And there's so many things that just don't make sense. It's almost like nobody can look at a big picture and everyone's looking at the small data. Like, they had a magistrate or someone that was, you know, overseeing the financial aspects of this case, trying to figure out why Nexus wasn't paying anybody. And this guy was like, oh, you know, I don't think they were doing anything, deliberate. And I'm thinking to myself, after just doing a little bit of research, and I'm not an attorney, but I just did a little bit of research and read some court documents for a couple of hours. And I was like, nah, it seems like what they're doing is literally hiding money. They paid out $1.7 million since January to companies other than the companies that they owe money to, the companies that were suing them to get their money. $1.7 million, a huge portion of that went to their owner, you know, one of their owners, Richard Moore, again, the guy I just talked about a second ago that's on trial or pending trial for perjury charges. He transferred a bunch of money to himself. He transferred money to companies he owned, which is crazy. And even under testimony, under sworn oath today, their new CFO, who seemed like she should not be a CFO, 4 months on the job and didn't have answers about anything. But she said that Richard Moore was the one who signs away all the money. He's the one that it makes the decisions on to move money. Therefore, he knew that he has a judgment against him and against his company, and he's supposed to be paying that judgment. But instead, they're sending all this money out to all these other places, all these other companies he owns. You know, he's contracted for this. You know, just some of the money he sent out. So he sent out $221,000 for this TV show. I know it's really confusing for anyone that's watching. You're probably like, what the hell? So not only do they do this immigration thing that's just weird, they also imported a bunch of kids from Indiana or Illinois or something like that. And they started this production of the show called The System. Now, what the system is a bunch of troubled kids that come in from other states. They all live in a house together with these two creepy dudes, Richard Moore and Mike Donovan. They all sit there and, you know, be weird. And then these kids all go out with a film crew and protest. They do BLM protests. And they go to Tucker Carlson's house, allegedly, and protest after Mike Donovan gets brutalized on Tucker Carlson in 2019, I think it was. And it just keeps going. But the reason why they got on my radar is because they started protesting outside of Augusta County Sheriff's Office in Verona, Virginia. And right after I moved up here, someone said, hey, you're now up in Virginia. There's these weird BLM protests that are going on. And I watched a video and I saw lapel mics on these protesters. They all had these, you know, these audio packs, basically. So they're wireless lapel mics that broadcast back to a state, you know, a central receiver. And I'm like, that's weird. I've covered protests for a year and a half now. We've covered them extensively. I've covered hundreds and hundreds and thousands of hours with all of you watching, thousands of hours of protest, and you know what I never saw? People carrying every now and then you have a news camera crew, but I never saw mic'd up protesters. I thought that was weird, very inauthentic. And then I started looking at the other videos and I saw there's a professional camera crew with them. And I was like, okay. I jumped in my truck the very same day that I heard about it, jumped in my truck and drove down there. And I was like, this is weird. And I filmed around for a little bit, caught a couple of the protesters. Actually, the protesters were gone when I got there, but I got the counter protesters, the Americans that were out there with American flags showing support for the police station because this group of people was harassing police officers all, you know, in the name of Black Lives Matter, calling the sheriff a pedophile and all these other stupid accusations just because that Mike Donovan had a personal vendetta against the guy. But it gets weirder. It gets weirder. So in this RLI case, a lot of information has been made available about Unleash TV, which is the company behind the system. It's a company. Remember the guy that shot up the school in Parkland? Remember his brother? I think it's Nick Cruz or something like that. His brother. Well, apparently he's adopted by Mike Donovan and Richard Moore and lives in their home. And they've been making a documentary about that. They're also making another show about, you know, what it's maybe, I don't know what it is. Two gay dudes that live together. So they're making a show about that as well. And then they're making the show The System. Now, what's kind of funny is they always try to disconnect between Nexus. Which you couldn't really do, because when I was there filming the one day that they were there and we all got into it back and forth, they had security there, and the security told me on camera, granted, I'm not sure if he knew I was recording, one party consent state, doesn't matter, obviously I was live streaming, but he didn't, I don't think he realized that the camera that was in my hand was on because it wasn't pointing at him. And so I was asking him questions. I'm like, oh, what are you doing here? And he's like, oh, I'm just here. And I said, do you work for the, you know, Nexus? And he's like, yeah, I do. And I said, so why are you here providing security at a BLM protest? And he says on camera, mind you, I have the audio that he says, oh, the majority of these guys are employees of Nexus. And I'm like, okay, so you're telling me that the paid protesters that are out protesting outside of a police station for Black Lives are actually paid employees of a company that does all this weird immigration bond stuff. Like, this is confusing to me. It just didn't make any sense. And then I started, and then actually when I was listening to the court case today, I'm like, wow, this is weird. So I pulled up the footage that I took that I didn't air, and there's protesters that are there wearing Nexus polo shirts that have the Nexus logo on it. And I'm like, this is crazy. And then they say that they paid the $221,000 to the company, something global. It's Global Films out of Miami. But they have a different corporate name. They do business as Global Films. But as soon as they said that company, I knew what it was because we did a whole article about the fake BLM protest there. And it's just so weird, man. In addition to that, they paid $30,000 to a company called Absolute Inc. to surveil the Augusta County Sheriff's Office. One of the reasons why I went out there to cover the original protest is because the people that called me about it, the people that called me about it put me in touch with the people that were there. The people that were there told me that they know that people were trailing these deputies home after work and to find out where they live and all this stuff. So many weird things about this company. And then even now it's super weird because today they confirmed that Unleash TV is being funded by Nexus Services. Again, they're funneling money and they're calling it marketing for Nexus Services. So for anybody that has any question about Mike Donovan's authenticity when it comes to Black Lives Matter or anything like that, all the Black Lives Matter protesters that are there, any of his, you know, paid supporters or anybody, today in his court deposition under oath, Mike Donovan said the show The System, all the other shows he does, they are marketing campaigns for Nexus Services. That is and he said it under oath. It's there. It's the official record. I'm not making this shit up. This is real. Everyone can look at it. Everyone could go to the Harrisonburg federal court and look up the court case from yesterday and get the transcript, and you will see. He says, no, all those shows, those are all done for marketing campaigns. They're all for marketing for Nexus Services to get them more illegal immigrants. And what is really funny is he did a lot of anti-Trump stuff in his under oath conversation, too, talking about how now things are finally picking up because Biden's opened the border. So now all these illegal immigrants are coming up. So his revenue is actually going up. He's starting to make money now. He said he stopped making money because Donald Trump shut down the border. So people stopped coming across and trying to get asylum. It wasn't working. They had to wait in their own countries. Keep in mind, remember I told you a minute ago when he was on Tucker Carlson, because he actually tried to sue the Trump administration for, remember the whole caravan, the big caravan that was coming across in 2019, I think. He tried to sue the Trump administration on behalf of that caravan, saying that they had rights here in the United States, even though they haven't even crossed here into the United States yet. That they, because the Trump administration said that if you have to try to seek asylum in your home country. That's why when Joe Biden came in, he canceled that. All the people that were sitting in their home countries waiting to do it. That's why they all flooded the border. It was one of the first things Joe Biden did. He came in and he canceled Trump's, you know, stay in your home country, stay at home, you know, the stay at home policy. He canceled it. This guy started instantly making money when that happened. It's insane. It's insane. But again, that's America, right? Where you can just do whatever you want. Nobody's ever held accountable. Today, he wasn't held accountable because today what RLI was asking was not to have this go on anymore. RLI was asking for someone to come in and a third party company to come in and manage Nexus's finances and pay RLI back. And RLI, you know, and Nexus was sitting there complaining and almost like crying, it sounded like. And he's like, if you do that, we're going to end up going out of business. We're going to close. And they said all these illegal immigrants are going to have their bonds removed. They tried everything today. And the only thing is like sometimes I think the judge knows that he's being scammed. But again, I don't think the judge has anything else he could do about it because he doesn't want to hurt the employees of Nexus. He doesn't want to have all these bonding things happen because the only one that can remove the bond. And that's what I learned today too. So if any of you Nexus clients are paying attention, you know, the Nexus cannot remove your bond. That's what was discovered today in court. The only one that can actually remove that bond and cancel out that bond is the government. So all those little fees that you're paying to Nexus all the time, tell your bail bondsman you're not doing it anymore. And then, you know, talk with an immigration attorney first, but you're getting scammed by this guy. Did I mention that they're under investigation by virtually everybody? For they're under investigation, either civil investigations by the attorney generals, or they're under investigation on the federal level. But because we did FOIA requests, we couldn't even get any information. The information we got back is we cannot give you any information on this case because of a pending criminal investigation. Like, this company is so screwed. Like, these guys are going down so fast. It's just not fast enough. I literally watched the whole hearing today because I thought they were going to, put in a receivership, you know, order in there. So they pay RLI back, which would eventually cause Nexus to lose, which would eventually cause these BLM protests in the small little town to finally stop because there'd be no money for it. It's just amazing. Like the Black Lives Matter 757 guys, you know, and all the BLM protesters, especially the three you scumbags that have warrants out of Richmond now, all like those protesters, you guys got duped. And I talked to the BLM 757 guy in Messenger quite a few times. And he knew it was a scam operation, but he's like, oh, it's publicity. It's publicity. It's publicity. Are you going to give us free phones? Because, I mean, this company, so many things are so wrong with this. You know, but I got a feeling it's going to go away pretty soon. But yeah, talk about. So that was the big story that I was, you know, pretty much talking about all day. I was on conference calls literally from 9:30 this morning until 6:30. You know, I was on that court call the entire day. Even when I picked up my kids and had to wait an hour, figure out your stuff, my kids' schools, an hour to pick up my children from school. Insane. And I'm not talking about drive time. I'm talking about just sitting there waiting for them to finish with the kids and bring them out. It's just insane. So many cars there. But you guys heard what else happened today? Kumho, you finally resigned, that groping sex offender. Today, Andrew Kumho has resigned as the governor of New York a week after a damning report by Attorney General Letitia James, who's also investigating Nexus Services. Funny one there. That claimed multiple sexual harassments and groping claims were founded after an investigation. Speaking at a press conference on Tuesday morning in New York City, he insisted he is innocent and that he has never groped anybody, but is stepping aside in the interest of the people so that the government could focus on COVID, saying the best way I can help now is if I step aside and let government get back to governing, and therefore that's what I'll do. And then he jumped in a sick looking police car and drove himself to the helicopter airstrip there. And he did. I almost was like, shit, I want to move to New York and run for governor just so I could drive a souped up police car. Like, it was pretty sick. But then he drove to the heliport and got on his private, you know, taxpayer-funded helicopter and flew back to Albany, where he's going to remain for the next 14 days until he gives up to the lieutenant governor. And she becomes, I think, the first African-American woman governor of New York, I think. Or maybe, I don't know. But 14 days and then he's gone. But I don't know. I mean, people held protests in support of him. This guy literally sexually assaulted people. And it's founded. That, like, they know it happened. And his excuse is, oh, I'm Italian. Like, literally. Fox News actually ran with that headline on one of their overlays. You know, it wasn't inappropriate. I'm Italian. That's what we do. I didn't kiss anyone that didn't want to be kissed. I kissed everyone. That's what he said in his initial, like, debunk. So stupid. Here's some other news. We got a bunch of news to try to go through. And then I've got a story. Shout out to Ed, who's probably watching this now, or we'll watch it later. Because Ed sent me a video. I didn't even see the video at first, but I had already seen it previously. But he said, you know, I'm just as bad as Jake and all the other people, except I'm not racist. His words, not mine. But then he said, you know, I won't hold, you know, bad police accountable and blah, blah, blah. And he sent me a video, and I'm going to do a breakdown of this video. And you guys are all going to tell me, do you think these cops were wrong? We're going to watch the video and then I'll tell you what really happened after. It's amazing. Anyway, two people are dead, multiple, I think it was three others injured in a Northeast Portland shooting early this morning. According to Portland police, the shooting took place in the area of Northeast 82nd Avenue and Beach Street. Several people called 911 shortly before 5:30 a.m. when shots fired in the area. Northeast 82nd Avenue is closed between Fremont Street and Sandy Boulevard. That was an update from this morning. So basically what ended up happening is apparently it was a homeless encampment. Gunmen. I don't know who did it. Killed two people. I think it was three other people suffered injuries. They don't know. I think they finally this afternoon they confirmed how many people were shot there. 58 people have been killed so far in 2021 in the city of Portland. 58. That is huge. 58 lives lost, hundreds wounded. The city is really suffering, said Lieutenant Greg Pashley. Insane. Insane stuff going on in that city all the time. We talked about all the riots and the protests and all the stuff that, you know, we've been talking about it. We talked about the fact that Antifa attacked women and children on Saturday. Nobody cares. Mainstream media is not touching it. Fox News put out a story, but then lied. I mean, that's what I'll say. They lied. Like, I almost wished I lived in Loudoun County so I could go to, you know, give a speech about CRT and, you know, all the bathroom thing that they're trying to do, and then turn to Fox News and be like, you guys suck and lie. Because in all reality, I'm a conservative. Everybody knows that. We are, you know, for all of our audio, you know, all of our videos and stuff like that, we try to be kind of neutral in the way we write, but all of the content that we actually produce in terms of videos and shows and podcasts and all that, we're all right now, because we don't have anybody that hosts a left-leaning podcast that's on our network. Eventually we will, because I want to, you know, provide a glimpse into both worlds. I just lost my train of thought. I don't even know. It's so stupid. So stupid. Here's a good story today. Texas Supreme Court is going to allow for the arrest of Democrats who remain absent amid second special session. In a win for Governor Greg Abbott, the Texas Supreme Court has issued a stay after a state judge intervened on behalf of Texas Democrats earlier this week. On Monday, Governor Greg Abbott and Texas Speaker of the House Dale Phelan filed a petition with the Texas Supreme Court asking to overturn an order issued by a state judge that blocked the arrest of a wayward House Democrats who fled the state in order to break quorum. On Tuesday, that request was granted by the court. The Texas Supreme Court issued this stay in the case, paving the way for those Democrat fugitives to finally be arrested. Abbott and Abbott and Flynn argue that the petition for the writ of dated August 9th, that the trial court's error constitutes a clear abuse of discretion. In this case, there's little doubt that the plaintiff's arrest and subsequent transport back to the Capitol falls comfortably within the legislators and the speaker's broad power to compel the attendance of its members. On Sunday, District Court Judge Brad Urrutia, I suck at pronouncing names, okay? They actually talked about that in the Loudoun County hearing today. And they're like, people mispronounce names all the time. I do, and I don't apologize. I actually do apologize for it a lot, but I don't really make an effort. So I'm sorry, I butcher names all the time. Anyway, so this leftist judge, a Democrat, signed an order barring the arrests after a 24-page lawsuit was filed by Austin attorneys representing 19 plaintiffs a week before arguing that their arrest violated their civil rights. The leftist judge ruled that Texas law does not provide for the physical confinement of lawmakers who have committed no crime. But Abbott's petition said the state of Texas has no other adequate remedy to the order at its time of essence. For anyone that doesn't know, because you live under a rock, hopefully it's not a racist rock like the one they just removed in Wisconsin. Serious, real story. I covered it yesterday. Texas Democrats, 55 of them, jumped on a private plane a couple of weeks ago and fled to D.C. from Texas, breaking quorum. They literally all got on buses, left their job while they're being ordered to vote. So it was an effort to break quorum so they couldn't pass voter integrity bills. So they actually fled the state. The governor of Texas said, hey, if you don't come back, we're going to arrest you. You're going to face charges for it. And we're going to lock you in the Capitol until you do your damn job, which is all part of the Texas Constitution. So they filed this petition, literally. And if you read the Democrats' complaint, the 19-page or 24-page complaint, it's amazing. It's amazing. The sense of entitlement of these Texas politicians, these Texas Democrats, it's amazing. Because they say that the House Republicans, the Texas House Republicans, were being racist against them for being white. They were being racist against them for being black or Spanish or everything. They literally every other example that they could for possibly just saying, hey, these House Republicans want us to do our job. We want us to do the job that our constituents elected us to do. But no, instead, they flew on a charter jet passing COVID to each other. Real story. Seven of them caught COVID, even though they're all vaccinated, landed in Texas, spread that COVID to Nancy Pelosi's aide and several other people. And where most of them are still in D.C., I believe. Insane story. Speaking of another insane story, today was the biggest hack ever happened to cryptocurrency today. Hackers allegedly breached blockchain-based platform Poly Network and extracted more than $600 million in cryptocurrencies on Tuesday. The company announced it on Twitter, saying, "We are sorry to announce that the Poly Network was attacked." They disclosed that hackers had transferred hundreds of millions of dollars to separate cryptocurrency wallets, which are supposedly untraceable. Poly Network has created a collaboration between multiple blockchain providers, namely Neo, Ontology, and Switchio, that consumers can exchange tokens across different crypto platforms, including Bitcoin and Ethereum. The attacker wallets addressed in the system are something I don't care. And yeah, so it's the biggest attack. Poly shared the affected wallet addresses that show the transfers of 2,858 Ether tokens worth about 267 million. 60. See, I don't understand any of this Bitcoin shit. That's why I don't get involved in it, because one, I don't know anything about it. Two, I don't care. But it just means that a lot of those little evil millennials that sit there and talk about leftists and CRT and all this stuff and all these like Twitter bots that are all buying Bitcoin and talking about it all the time. Some of them probably just lost money, and they're probably conservatives that believe in all that crypto crap too, because I just don't understand it. I'm just making jokes here. But yeah, I undoubtedly somewhere a Democrat probably lost some money with this hack, so whatever. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, you guys want another happy story? Because we're on a push for happy stories today. Modesto City Council is considering a request from police to prohibit items at protests. Now, what do you think these are? What do you think? They're umbrellas, gas masks, and several other popular accessories during protests? Well, you'd be correct. The Modesto Bee reports that tonight the Modesto City Council will consider adding to the list of items banned at protests. 2 years ago, the council passed an urgency ordinance banning rocks, firearms, glass bottles, and other items that could be used as weapons at protests that could turn violent after the National Straight Pride Coalition organized a rally in Modesto that celebrated traditional gender roles, Christianity, heterosexuality, and the contributions of whites in Western civilization. The Modesto Police Department is asking the council to consider another urgency ordinance on Tuesday to broaden that list, saying observed local behavior and an examination of similar incidents throughout the nation have identified the need for additional safeguards. The proposed ordinance states that, or that's what it states. If passed, the ordinance would make the following illegal to possess at a protest: metal containers, which, like glass containers, could be used as weapons; gas masks or breathing devices, which could be used to overcome crowd control techniques such as tear gas or other chemical dispersals. The report notes that the ban would not apply to masks or face coverings encouraged by the current COVID-19 protocol. Helmets, which would help to hide the identity of participants that can be intimidating to other participants. Subjects participating in public assemblies in possession of wearing a helmet of any kind are most likely doing so out of anticipation of violence. It's not like they're going on a bike ride in the middle of a riot. Umbrellas, which, I mean, I don't even know where that came from, but they all started using umbrellas at protests. But now in Modesto, with the city council meeting today, umbrellas will not be permitted anymore. Riot gear, including flak jackets and stab or bulletproof resistant vests. This equipment is neither designed nor intended to facilitate peaceful assembly or the exercise of constitutional rights, the report states. Rather, they appear to embolden those looking for confrontation with demonstrators and or law enforcement. They also want to ban load-bearing or tactical vests, according to the report. The possession of these items does not further one's ability to peacefully assemble and are instead often used as items of intimidation and preparation for conflict. Sounds right. Here's another story, too. This one's a little bit sadder, but I think both people were okay. According to scanner traffic, multiple officers were struck by a car in Cleveland, Ohio. The incident happened just before 3 p.m. in the McDonald's parking lot in West 56th Street and Memphis Avenue. Intel points alerts posted on Twitter that multiple agencies, including air support, were en route. They did end up catching him. It was a man and a woman in a car, and they caught several firearms inside the vehicle as well. They were pretty young, 25, the officers were 25. Both a male officer and a female officer were injured. They are in stable condition from the location. Driver was later arrested after a brief chase in the area of West 66th Street. A third officer was injured during the course of arrest. And I believe I thought I saw that they arrested a female subject, but I could have just been thinking about a different story. Also, another non-story today, the Senate passes a $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill, which again, the Congressional Budget Committee or whatever it is, Congressional Budget, Oversight Committee or Oversight Group, anticipates it's going to add, $256 billion to our deficit over the next 10 years. Yeah. Yeah, super great. Super great. It's going to do a whole lot of shit. Like, include now you're going to have to, part of the infrastructure bill is that they want to make it mandatory for all cars to have like safety features, like, you know, breathalyzers and you know, the alarms that keep you awake, all sorts of real, and mileage charges too. So we'll have a mileage tax for everybody, not just commercial trucks now. Beautiful. Beautiful. All right. So our last story, this is the one that I was waiting for. It's the one you guys all have been waiting for. What time is it? 9:08. See, whoo, I got through those news quick today, didn't I? For anyone that is watching, when I'm done with this video, I'm going to edit this video. So chop off the beginning stuff. So for social media, that's why I'm saying it. I'm going to edit the video, chop off of the Loudoun County meeting, and I'll just put the show out as a show so you don't have to watch that if you don't want to, but you should watch it because it's very good. So you're going to see another video post either tonight or tomorrow morning, which is this video that you're now watching. Just to make it clear and easy for everyone. So this video, for anyone that doesn't know, this video was posted online, on social media. Now, this took place in Washington, D.C., I believe on Friday. So I'm gonna play this video, and I'm sorry it's kind of zoomed out, but I think you'll see pretty much the whole video. So I'm just gonna kind of leave it. Actually, here, let me do this just a little bit. I think that. Now you can see the whole video. So I'm going to play this video, and I'm going to play, it's 40 seconds long. I'm going to play this video and I want you to watch it. You know, viewer discretion advised, all that, hide your kids, hide your wife, all that stuff. And then we'll go from there. All right. But everyone watch, everyone pay attention to what's going on in this video. And then don't pass any judgment yet. But again, a viewer named Ed, shout out to you, Ed. I told you I was going to shout you out for this, said, he sent me this video as an example of police brutality and why I shouldn't blindly support police. Well, huh. All right, so you watch that video. Now, this is a shorter version of the original video. The original video shows what all the partners were doing in the background. I think they said that. They were throwing garbage cans and stuff at these officers until more officers arrived. You can find that video, and that's why one of them was arrested as well. They were literally picking up garbage cans and chairs and lawn chairs and stuff and throwing them at the officers while they tried to effect the arrest. So I'm not looking at the social media chat, but here's the real question that I have is, what is your opinion? Do you think that these officers used excessive force? My personal opinion, before I even looked into the story, was that no, they didn't. Clearly, their person was fighting, resisting. They had four officers on him and they still couldn't control him. And so they were trying to get him under control. But I knew there was more to the story. And then I was like, wonder why they tried to arrest him. And I knew they got him under arrest because I watched the original video, not this little clip of the video that doesn't show all the people throwing stuff at these officers. I decided to just search for what happened to DC. And well, lo and behold, guess what? The three police. Oh, wait. So I don't want to say that yet. So I found an article. So let me switch back over here so I'm not getting ahead of myself. Turns out this guy, the cops had stopped him on suspicion of selling drugs because they probably saw him selling drugs, right? Now, when they went to effect his arrest, when they went to place him under arrest, they were trying to restrain him before he started getting super crazy, and they felt a gun on him, allegedly, right? It's alleged, because they thought they felt a gun on him. So they were trying to get him under control while now thinking that he had a .45 caliber handgun on him. Oh, wait. Yeah, they found a handgun on him. So I just gave it away by saying .45 caliber. Yeah, so they found a .45 on him. But anyway, they're trying to get him under custody. While he has a gun, he's clearly reaching around and doing stuff. He's not listening to their commands. They're doing whatever they can to stop him from potentially getting the gun and start shooting cops, because that's what everybody does across America now. With those known facts now, what do you think? Do you think that the cops used just force? Do you think the cops used an adequate amount of force? Someone said no audio in the video. You don't need the audio. And I'm sorry, I should have just pressed that button and then, because now you could have heard the audio. But I didn't have it on, but whatever. You're not, it doesn't matter. You're not missing anything by just hearing it. They're repeatedly saying, stop. Wait, here, you know what? I'll play it again with audio. Sorry.
Why you punching?
I think it's really funny that I didn't even realize, Ed, homie. You didn't even send the whole video where they're throwing all the stuff at these guys. Because this goes on for a while. They start picking up garbage cans and all that. But now you've heard the audio. So I'm serious. What is your thoughts? What are your thoughts on this? Do you think this is justified? Especially knowing that the police were under the assumption that he had a firearm on him. Turns out he did have a firearm on him. Turns out they wanted him for a felony drug, you know, sale. So it was a felony arrest. They felt a gun. You know what I mean? Like, what other force? He's actively resisting. The bad part for these officers is this happened in D.C. Now, I'm going to show you something, and it's going to piss you guys all off. I promise it will. Read that headline. Three D.C. police officers suspended after video shows man repeatedly struck during arrest. This is from the Washington Post. Three D.C. police officers involved in an arrest of a man in southeast Washington have been suspended and referred for possible criminal prosecution after one of the officers is seen on video repeatedly punching the suspect in the face. The police chief, the sellout scumbag shitbird that can't even get his town in order, writes, he's embarrassed, or he told reporters that he was embarrassed and ashamed by what he saw, adding that it was inconsistent with the department's training tactics and values. The chief said the officers were arresting the 23-year-old man after they saw a suspected drug transaction and then felt a handgun tucked in the man's clothing. This is not the way we train our members to get illegal firearms off the streets. What is the way, Officer Conti? Do you want them to walk up to a guy that they just saw sell drugs and say, sir, will you come to jail with us? Do you know how many people are getting killed every single day in D.C.? Apparently, the chief of police in D.C. is a coward. That's the only thing I could say. The chief of police there is a coward. And he's literally siding with America instead of going after the police or going after the criminals. The actual criminals, the people that are carrying firearms, selling drugs that kill kids left and right and ruin lives. Let's just not pretend, or let's pretend that that's not occurring. You can't even make this, can't even believe it. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the District said in a statement that it's examining the actions of the officers. A spokesperson declined to comment further. The incident occurred Sunday afternoon in the 1500 block of U Street Southeast near the Ketchum Recreation Center in Augusta. Remember, I wrote about all the murders that took place, all the shootings, seven separate shootings, like six different stabbings across that city on Saturday alone. On Saturday or Sunday alone in that city. Sunday alone. Actually, that was from Saturday night to Sunday morning. So it was a 12-hour period. You had two mass shootings that took place. Actually, I believe there was a double shooting, a triple shooting, and then the mass shooting with four victims. All that took place on Sunday. Insane. The video shows three officers from the 7th District Station surrounding the man who had his back to a fence. The officers appear to be struggling to... Washington Post, you suck ass. appear to be struggling to detain the man. An officer in the middle of the group uses his hand to push the man at least three times, or to punch the man at least three times in the face, and then punches him additional times using his right hand, the video shows. It also appears that the second officer punches him at least once. The man struggles against the officers, but the video does not show him trying to strike them. You're right, because what it looks like he's doing is he's trying to take his hands, which the officers, you can't see me, let me switch that. It looks like maybe he's trying to take his hands like this, where the officers are holding him, maybe to go like this. Do you think it's to pull a gun and shoot them? Do you think the officers have adequate reason and fear to keep his arms like this, or at least try to get him down here? But if he's fighting, trying to get like maybe a gun that's sitting in his waistband, which they found a 45 caliber pistol in his waistband. Like, this is the stupidest shit ever. And you wonder why. You wonder why, like, if anything, like Ed, you know, the viewer that sent me this video talking about how this makes him afraid to be a black man in America because he's a black man in America, and this solidifies that fear. And my simple response is, one, don't sell drugs. Two, don't carry guns in cities that you're not allowed to carry them. And three, don't fight with cops when you're stopped. And then you have no, like, those, you will eliminate those three things from this scenario. And guess what? You have nothing to fear. It doesn't matter your race. For some reason, everybody wants to justify this. And now the town is going after these officers, their own police chief. How any officer in DC right now is on the job, I have no idea. I have no idea. I mean, because you should be standing up for the people that you work with every single day, right? Isn't there a whole big show of solidarity for the people that went the Capitol riots? The officers, Officer Vazone and all those other, you know, actors. Where's the same thing for these officers, the ones that are actually out there doing stuff, the ones that actually deserve the Congressional Medals of Honor and stuff, the ones that are actually trying to actively stop crimes and not participating them like they did in the Capitol riot? How come they're not doing that? I don't know. I really just don't know. The man struggles against the officers, but the video does not show him trying to strike them. Conti said his officers found a firearm identified in a report as a 45 caliber handgun on the man, and he was taken into custody. Another man was also arrested after he threw stuff at the officers. Prosecutors said in court Monday that they would not pursue criminal charges against the men. They're letting the guy go for selling drugs? Holy shit, they let him go. They let him go. The guy that sold drugs, carried a gun on a city street and resisted arrest. Prosecutors said they are not charging him, and they released him today or yesterday. I didn't even know that. I didn't even know. I didn't even read the whole article yet. Holy shit. Is today Monday? No, today's Tuesday. What the fuck? Are you kidding me? I never, like, this is a bullshit. You want to know what would happen as me as a white guy if I did this? Okay, so I'll tell you what would happen. So if I'm sitting there and I sold drugs and cops walked up and I resisted arrest, the cop would have punched me in the face three times. He would have punched me in the side a couple of times. His other buddy officer would have punched me too. I would have been placed under arrest. They would have confirmed that I had the firearm on me. I would have been booked into jail and I would never get out. So I'm so tired of people talking about privilege. You want to talk about privilege? Look at the guy that was just caught with a gun selling drugs, and he gets out of jail the next day with no charges. And the buddy that's picking up garbage cans and throwing them at the police officers, striking the police officers, is released with no charges. This is stupid. You got people that are charged with misdemeanor crimes, misdemeanor riot charges for being at the Capitol. They're being held in solitary confinement. Guys, fuck, dude, I didn't read the whole article. I probably would have started with this if I knew it was going to be this bad. I'm not joking. This is disgusting to me. Knowing what's going on in that department right now is disgusting. And how any police officer there is doing their job. Like, why would you arrest anybody? Seriously, if they're just going to release him, they caught the guy with a gun, a 45 caliber, fighting with police, selling drugs, and they release him with no charges. But yet they've referred, the police department has referred the officers for charges. This is the new America, guys. This is the new America. My God, what is happening to us? What is happening to us? That just blew my mind. That just blew my mind. The funny thing is, the officers' names were not released Monday, although their identities and body camera videos could be made public this week. Greg Pemberton, a chairman of the DC Police Union, said the officers were on U Street because of a spike in violent crime there. He said the gun the officers were trying to retrieve was loaded and was unsecured and a danger to the police office and the suspect and anybody nearby. Pemberton said the man was resisting. The officers used minimal amount of force to subdue a violent suspect in possession of a legal firearm. Oh my gosh. DC Councilmember Trayon White said that he asked Conti after the incident if he could meet with concerned community members on Monday, and the chief said yes immediately. The meeting of about 25 people in Ward 8 lasted 2 hours, and community members expressed years of frustration surrounding complaints of officer misconduct. This is not officer fucking misconduct. I don't care. This is not officer misconduct. The guy had a loaded gun on him, and they witnessed him make a felony drug sale. Because here's the thing. It's always a felony, right? When you sell drugs, you don't get misdemeanor charges for selling crack that kills people, right? Jesus Christ, dude. Someone said, you know, please, police, just quit. You're being crucified for doing your job. Isn't worth it. Go to a town where you'll be respected. I would have to say, if you're a police officer in DC after this, I don't know how you do it. I really just don't know how. Here's an offer. Any one of those officers that want to come on my show and talk about it, let me know. I'll come to DC and we'll shoot an interview. We'll do we'll walk around your town. I don't care. This is insane. Wasn't Conti just out the other day talking about how gun violence is rampant? We got to stop all the shootings. Didn't he just do something this weekend saying that after a little girl was shot and killed? I think it was him. And now he's referred his officers. Wow, dude. Damn, I wish I started with that instead of ended with it, because now I'm going to be pissed all night. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Hey, but you know what? That's Biden's America. That's what we get, right? Just bills and crime running through. If anyone's ever watched season 4 of Brockmire, guess what? I think we'll do it before 2030. Because that's what this is, the world that Brockmire lived in after, you know, and when it speeds up to 2030. Where Arizona is kind of its own country and people are fighting over it. You know, where a pandemic ravaged America and crime is rampant in cities across America. Yeah. That's where we're going. I don't care. Like, people, we need to, oh my goodness. What is going on? You guys just saw, like, so here's the thing. Live on the air right now, you just saw what I do every single day when I read news articles. Normally, all the articles that I talk about live on the air, I've already read them several times, and I'm able to get through them. Nothing surprises me with the articles anymore. But during the day, I read all these articles, and I'm like, this just can't be true. It's just not true. It can't be true. It's not true. You just saw me do that on the air. Where they want to charge the police officers. They've suspended the police officers for punching a man that had a gun that was resisting arrest, clear as fucking day on the picture, and that was selling drugs. They witnessed it. The guy gets released with no charges. The guy that throws a garbage can at police gets released with no charges. And yet the officers are going to face charges? I never want to hear anybody talk about white privilege again, because it's official to me. That guy, the guy that was arrested with a gun selling drugs and then released with no charges, he's got white privilege, black privilege, whatever you want to call it. He's got privilege. I don't have that privilege. I'll never have that privilege. I'm never going to be caught selling drugs and with a gun while resisting arrest and just get all my charges dropped and released the next day and the officers charged for trying to do their job. Welcome to America. I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. So sad. So sad. Anyway, that's my show today. Adam is going to start his show probably any minute. I'm going to send him a text message as soon as I'm done. He's probably watching, waiting for me to be done. Let me say 2 minutes. Just give him a 2 minute warning. So Adam will be live on PTNN just like he was last night, except we figured it out. So it won't be that super delayed. Again, for anyone that doesn't know, my show is a podcast. You can download it, look up Wake Up America podcast on your podcast player of choice. And even if you don't listen to podcasts, go to Google Podcasts, iTunes Podcasts, download it and leave a review. It helps us. It helps more people be able to see the show because we're trying to expand on that side a little bit more as well, just for the distribution and trying to get more out there. Tomorrow, I think I'm going to do it at 6 o'clock Eastern time. I'm going to start releasing slowly but surely the new show, Thought Villains. So tomorrow I'm going to do one. I forgot what the title of it is. So tomorrow at 6 o'clock, I'll send a push notification. It'll be available for everyone to watch. You don't even need to have a membership. You do need to have a membership, but it could be a free one. Sign up at ptnn.tv for your monthly membership. That's a pro plan, or just go download the Citizen Stringer app on your cell phone. If you want to be able to watch all your on-demand content on the web or through the Roku devices or all that, you do need a membership in order to be able to watch those. It just helps us. It's, you know, we don't use YouTube monetization or any of that shit anymore because we don't want big tech to make any money off us. If you want to support us, and thank you everyone who did it last night after I ended my show, you can visit citizenstringer.com/support. Everyone type that in the chat right now. citizenstringer.com/support. citizenstringer.com/support. That is the way to contribute directly to us. There's credit cards, Cash App, Venmo, PayPal, whatever, however you want to do it, you could do it that way. And then we get that whole percentage instead of big tech taking taking their 30% or whatever YouTube takes and Facebook and all that stuff. But yeah, I appreciate everyone for watching here, and I don't have an overlay, but I always cut my video too soon, so I'm just going to play music and kind of zone out for a second, and then I'll cut the video. But thank you, everyone, for watching. We'll see you later.